He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Dada.
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Lakers Insider for LakersDaily.com. Joined today by Raj. I'm considering it a Lakers win. The Nuggets were eliminated. You and I like to hop on after playoff games and after playoff wins, especially. And I feel like that was a Lakers win. The Minnesota Timberwolves took care of the Denver Nuggets and helped us avoid, a potential Nuggets dynasty and all of that stuff. Right? Like it's that's over. All of the dynasty talk is now over. You weren't able to get to the conference finals the following year after winning a championship. You can no longer win or you can no longer be considered a dynasty if that is the case, unless you go out and like somehow win three of the next four or something like that. But like tied to the last championship that they won, by definition, they cannot have a dynasty now. I think that's worth celebrating. I think we get to celebrate that.
Just quickly before that, I always try to push this basketball is greater than anything agenda. I watched, a movie last week. I watched Scarface last week, and there are other sports that exist, out in the universe. Anthony, I still think there is nothing better than an NBA Game 7. That does not exist. Like the battle that it takes, the road that it takes to get to a Game 7, like baseball, I think is just less contact. So I don't know if there's as much animosity in like a baseball Game 7 as there is in an NBA.
Baseballs at each other.
Okay, well, I guess there's some animosity, but with basketball, the way like you're pushing and shoving, every single game, there's a level of just get out of my face, even though my job is to guard you. You could feel that at the end of that. Game 7 environments are just amazing. And I was, texting this with Sabrina. I was like, the Lakers haven't been in a Game 7 in forever. Last Game 7, I thought it was 2010. Obviously Game 7 against the Celtics. It's actually 2012 against the Denver Nuggets, I believe, in the first round. We beat them at home. That was the Ty Lawson, JaVale McGee Denver Nuggets. But, Anthony, this is awesome. This is amazing. Like, I'm tired of seeing the Nuggets win. Just as a Laker fan, they beat us a bajillion straight times. There were Kobe and Shaq comparisons that were coming up, right? Oh, this is the next dynasty. This is the next Kobe and Shaq. Jokic's numbers, compare those to Shaquille O'Neal, Jamal Murray, right? The young guard who has all the pull-up jump shooting. I'm glad that's put to rest, at least for a year. So, yes, this feels like a win. It's cleansing my soul. The last thing left, obviously, is Boston to lose. But it feels really good to see the Denver Nuggets lose for sure.
Yeah, like I essentially, all right. So over the weekend, I drove up to Dallas and for my buddy Kirk's 40th, and we were up there, and somehow Kirk got like an insane roster of people who RSVP'd and actually went to this party. We were sitting there talking, and like I'm not gonna name names because I don't think people want it out there that they were potentially rooting in one way or the other or whatever. But I will say that like we all kind of came to the consensus, and I'm willing to say like I was rooting for the Wolves in this series. I'm a Vikings fan, so I have a lot of like Viking Wolves crossover friends and stuff like that. The Nuggets have just owned the Lakers the last few years or so, a couple years. That also helps. But like even aside from that stuff, when they won one championship and started talking about dynasty stuff, like you won one championship and you immediately jumped to dynasty. That's where I'm like, no. I've seen the dynasty. We got to live through one, right? With the three-peat. Cause I don't even know if I consider the Lakers going back to back a dynasty. It was a hell of a run, but I don't know if I would consider that a dynasty. The Nuggets weren't even able to get to the conference finals here. And like the point there is that like, I think for those who've been listening to me for long enough, I really hold like NBA history and NBA lore really close to the heart. This stuff like really matters to me and the history of this. And when you throw around the word dynasty after winning one championship, like I have a problem with that. When you start, like you mentioned it, there were Jokic and Murray comparisons to Shaq and Kobe. Shaq and Kobe would have fucking trounced those guys. Like it would have been so mean what those guys would like, what Shaq and Kobe would have done to those two. Like it would have felt like bullying, you know? And when I saw those comparisons and when I saw the dynasty talk, like it just felt like it cheapened the accomplishments of those teams that actually did have a dynasty, right? The Lakers, the Warriors, like those teams that actually did put in the work and did do what it was necessary to actually have that dynasty stuff. Like that, when I saw that, and by the way, like I kind of understand when fans do it. I understand because like when you win a playoff game, you feel like you're never going to lose ever again. And so like when you win your first championship, like I can understand why like fans of the Nuggets would jump to that next step of like, we're never losing ever again. I get it. But when people who know better started talking that talk, I was like, come on, like, come on, you know? I'm extremely happy with the Wolves knocking off the Nuggets. Also, the Wolves are really cool. Like somehow they're cool despite like, you know how cool Anthony Edwards has to be to overcome having Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns on his team and still have his team be considered cool. Like that in and of itself makes him the best player in the world.
Also, like you were discussing why you picked Minnesota, you were rooting for Minnesota. Anthony, last year during their title parade, Mike Malone was... Michael Malone was wearing a Lakers daddy t-shirt. I mean, just the level of, you know, taunting he was doing when like LeBron and AD really didn't say anything. They were not going out of the way to attack them, to embarrass them in any way in that series. It's just they kind of made it really easy to be, you know, the villains in terms of this series and with Laker fans. But no, Anthony Edwards, I don't think it should get lost that he's 22. Like this is just not normal stuff that he's doing. He's picking up and he shot.
Did you listen to his post game interview?
No, I didn't get a chance to. Yeah.
I walked away from it ready to run through a wall. The guy goes, I'm paraphrasing, but he was saying how like he wasn't scoring. Nothing felt right coming off of his fingertips. He just wasn't able to impact the game there. But he said, what I can do, I can work my ass off defensively. Mm. I can go out and rebound. I can make the right play. And when you can do things aside from scoring, that allows you to impact the game even when your scoring isn't where it needs to be. And I'm 22, Raj, 22 and saying that stuff? That's unbelievable. And for a guy, too, by the way, when he was getting drafted or when he was getting scouted to be potentially drafted, they were saying that he might not love basketball. Nobody who doesn't love basketball says that stuff about basketball. Like whoever had that take on Anthony Edwards, I hope you're not working in the league still. Like I hope you're bagging groceries at Target. Like you cannot have that read on a human being and be that wrong about Anthony Edwards and continue to be able to talk about basketball players.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Right, someone said he could have played football. I'm very glad he doesn't play football. Like I'm glad I get to watch him you know, play in the NBA. But no, he's incredible. And just the amount of players, Anthony, that are number one option offensive engines for their team and also do not drop a single amount of effort on the defensive end. Like he's picking up full court on Jamal Murray. He's the main guy on him for a lot of possessions. Even when Jaden McDaniels takes him, like Anthony Edwards is chasing around. He's getting blocked. He's rebounding the hell out of the basketball and then go on the other end. And like to see we made our jokes about Denver, their championship team with a championship coaches on their bench with, you know, championship game plans.
With the best
Anthony, player in the world. They gave up. They said, we're just going to trap you at the top of the key. Like, no more defensive schemes, no more switching, no more drop coverage. All I'm doing is we're going to send two at you every single time. And the amount of players that would just force the issue every time. He obviously shot 6 for 22, but made the right play almost every single play down. And that's really tough for a 22-year-old. Like, that's just not normal. So for a guy to be the offensive engine of whatever they finished the 3 seed and to win a road game 7, you know, on the defending champs home floor, that's just – it's legendary stuff. He's putting himself into really interesting conversations, and it's been fun to watch him and just root for, you know, a guy that's coming up. And it seems like, you know, the Wolves are really fun and built like a defensive monster team. And it's cool to see teams that went for it, that, you know, made big swings, have that payoff. So hopefully that kind of leads to other moves going on. But no, Anthony Edwards is absolutely incredible, and that should not be lost in the Denver, like, making fun discourse.
I do like, to that point, and this is something I was thinking about writing for Substack, but I'll just throw the take out here now. But I do like that the teams that sat out the deadline are not moving on. Right? I'm really happy that OKC, they have 73,000 first round picks they could have used to improve their team. They get sent home by the team that went out and got Gafford and went out and got PJ Washington. The Denver Nuggets, mm-hmm. right, who were, you know, are you know, kept Peyton Watson and kept Christian Brown and didn't do anything to improve their depth. They wind up getting knocked out to the team that went and traded all those first rounders for Rudy Gobert, you know. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I think it's also karmically great that Tim Connelly knocks out the Nuggets after his successor tries to take all the credit for everything that Tim Connelly did to build the Nuggets. Right. I this is something that I am like dogmatic about. This is like a borderline religious idiom that I have here, is that if you have a chance to win a championship, you push all chips into the middle of the table. And I think with this advent of like analytically inclined people, you see a lot of like straddling the line between going all in for a championship now and building for the future and keeping powder dry for the future. And I understand that, like, to a certain extent, you always got to keep the future in mind a little bit. But when you have a chance at winning a championship, you go all in. You go out mm-hmm. and get PJ Washington. You go out and get Daniel Gafford. You go out and you trade for Rudy Gobert, because you know that Rudy Gobert working on help side is how you have the best chance of guarding Nikola Jokic, yes. right? And also, like, all credit in the world to Karl Anthony Towns. He's like widely seen as the softest player in the league, but that dude was fighting, scratching, clawing for 7 games with the best player in the world, and I was really impressed with him. So, like, I don't know, you just like. And you know, the Pacers, right? The Pacers went out and got Pascal Siakam. They're going to the conference finals. The Boston Celtics, I don't even think they're really playing the guy that they got at the deadline from Memphis, right? They're like, he's barely being utilized, but because they keep on improving their roster, they're moving on to the conference finals too. And I don't like saying nice things about the Celtics. That's just like, I just kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit saying that.
Yeah.
But, like, my point here is that, like, you look at those teams and like, I know that the Lakers are like, there is somebody from the Lakers watching or listening to this right now. I know it. If you're watching or listening, stop. Like, I know that there's going to be a reflex to basically keep some powder dry coming off of this offseason. Don't. You have LeBron, you have Anthony Davis. This league is wide open. Do everything that you possibly can to optimize your roster this year and go out and give LeBron a legitimate chance, a viable chance at winning a championship in these next couple seasons, because you never know, man. Like, you never know when like PJ right. Washington is going to catch fire and knock off the 1 seed. You never know, like, when the Knicks are going to suffer. Well, you kind of knew it because of Tibbs, but you never know when like a team that you're playing against is going to break down. And Pascal Siakam is the difference between a conference finals berth and not. Like, these things, like this is why I carry, I hold these things so near and dear to the heart, is because I know how hard it is to win championships. And at some point, all of these nerds decided that, like, you have everybody started doing the two timeline thing, and the teams that don't, like, that say F the two timeline thing, those are the teams that are winning stuff. Those are the teams that win stuff, and I'm happy that the teams that did it this year are getting rewarded.
Right. It's funny because you brought up Oklahoma City, and I think the reaction to them not doing anything is almost the exact same as it was 10 years ago, right? It was this, yeah, we're going to build it slow, and we have a bunch of time. And, you know, I tweeted out, I remember the last OKC team that had that thought it had this large window, and then that summer they obviously, you know, traded James Harden, and they went through a whole nother rebuild with, I guess this was the first time, Anthony, they made it past the first round since KD left. Like, that's how long it takes. That's how long a rebuild is. And to your point, this is the most recent chance we've had parity in the league. The last repeat champion was the KD Warriors, and that was such a unique situation because of the cap spike. You can really go for it. And the margins, I'm watching Dallas, and I'm not with you on the tanking thing still. Like, I know you think you're right
that's
on that.
Coming. Oh, you better get ready, dude. You better get ready with your points, because it's coming.
But you look at Dallas, right? What, like, obviously Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, which honestly didn't play an amazing series. Like, Luka had two games where he was incredible. Kyrie had multiple games with less than 10 points. They're starting a rookie center in Derek Lively, right? The 10th pick, which they traded with Oklahoma City to get, by the way. And then they're starting Derek Jones Jr., who's on the minimum. Anthony, he's on a minimum contract. He just locked up Paul George. He just made like, I think, 9 threes or 10 threes in their series that they just won against Oklahoma City. Well, that's the margins. PJ Washington was attained for not much at the deadline, to your point as well. But yeah, this is a league of parity where you can really go for it. You have the Indiana Pacers in the conference finals because obviously the injuries that, you know, added up for New York. But yeah, it's cool to see the teams that went for it and really swung get rewarded with wins and get to advance to conference finals. So and just like we did last year, honestly, we made the swing last year and we advanced.
Yeah,
I think these teams are rewarded for going for it.
I think that's really it. Is the teams that are willing to go for it are getting rewarded. And look, man, like, this is the thing. I for one thing, you know, hats off to Tyrese Haliburton for rebounding the way that he did. You played incredibly today to knock out the Knicks. But like, I was texting back and forth with Matt. And you know, he had a problem with me having a problem with the way that Haliburton played. I don't, like, sometimes you miss shots, you know, sometimes you don't play well, sometimes your reads aren't quite there and you just play poorly. But my problem with Haliburton earlier in that series was that he had that game where he shot like 7 times. And I'm like, that you can't be the face of your franchise. The guy who has literally the point guard dribbles the ball up. There is no reason that you should finish a game with single digit shot attempts. And I'm watching Anthony Edwards tonight, and you could tell he was like trying to shoot himself out of the slump. He was doing the other thing, like other things that we were talking about. But I am so much more a proponent of errors of commission versus omission, right? I would so much rather see somebody, we're Kobe's fan. Like, you have Kobe in your background. I have Kobe in my background. You know, and you know, in that finals game, what do you go, 8 of 24 against Boston in game 7? Mm-hmm. And that's what I want. I want my star to be like, because I trust Kobe, and Kobe's quote was always, I know how much work I put in to get my shots up. I know how much work goes into every attempt that I throw up there. I trust myself. And yeah, like, it can be kind of a flawed approach, and I can understand why it would wear on teammates. 6 of 24. Thank you, Alexis. And Anthony Edwards tonight, right, was I think 6 of 24, and he grabbed 8 rebounds and he dished out those 7 assists. And like, that's what I want from organizations too. I want you to take swings, man. I don't want you going up there to the plate looking for a walk. Fuck that. I want you to go out there and like, when you have an Anthony Edwards on your team, when you have a Nikola Jokic on your team, when you have Luka or LeBron or AD, I want you to go out there and swing the bat, man. I want you to go out there and I know that people are like, well, maybe you would have lost on the margins maybe you don't get the D'Angelo Russell for Dorian Finney-Smith, like, isn't the return that you took? No, man. I try it. See what happens, because we knew what was going to happen with D'Angelo Russell. We knew how that, we knew where that was going. We've watched him enough over his career. You knew eventually that the game was going to get too hot for him. And I want the teams, and I think that's the new market inefficiency. While you have so many nerds in charge of all of these teams who are so focused on the future, like the market inefficiency is going to be the teams that are willing to actually push their chips into the middle of the table.
So John Krasinski, who covers the Wolves for The Athletic, obviously a friend of this show as well, been on this. I remember when the Rudy Gobert trade happened and he went on, I believe, the Low Post, and he was asked about it. He said, this trade is a bet on Anthony Edwards, right? It's to get Anthony Edwards playoff games. And it would have been really easy for the Wolves. Anthony Edwards' extension doesn't even kick in yet, Anthony, until next season. It would have been very easy for them to continue to play the long game, develop him, right, and see what he is. And I love that they went. Obviously, the first year didn't go great. I, as others, were critical of the trade. They won in the end. They were right. But that's a bet on Ant. The Luka trade, the Kyrie trade is a bet on Luka. And then the Siakam deal is a bet on Haliburton. It's like we think we have a young star guard, and we are going to go get him help right away. Same thing with Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland, right? Garland regressed in a very strange way this season, but that was a bet on Darius Garland and Evan Mobley going to get Donovan Mitchell. So that feels like we're kind of turning a tide here where teams aren't waiting as long. And the interesting team that's up next at bat, to make a baseball reference, is the San Antonio Spurs, right? Like Wemby was so good his rookie year. And let's see. I don't think they'll make a huge move, but they're kind of up next in this series of teams helping their young stars a lot quicker than they used to. So, I'm with that. I'm with teams being aggressive. I think we're in the biggest parity situation that we've been in a very long time.
That's how it's going to be with the new CBA. Like Adam Silver wants the league to function like the NFL, where every fan base feels like going into the season, they have a chance. How viable that chance is or whatever, and then there are going to be teams that are going to be tanking for future superstars or whatever, and that's always going to be a factor too. But essentially, Adam wants dynasties to end, right? And that was part of the math that I was doing in betting against the Denver Nuggets. I bet the Wolves tonight. I thought that I liked the Wolves' chances tonight. Part of it is to hedge because I had a sizable bet on the Nuggets to win a championship, and I wanted a bit of a return on that just in case. But like also, it was a bet on Anthony Edwards, and it was a bet that like I had a feeling that this guy is just like this is the origin story. We're watching like I'm always going to look back, you know, however many years from now, if I'm alive 17 years from now at the end of his career, I'm going to look back on this and I'm going to say, like, I remember when he shot like shit in game 7 on the road and stuck with it and kept shooting and kept rebounding and kept defending and kept making the right read and was able to do this. And that's the moment. This is the moment when I knew that this kid is freaking special, like special, all caps special. And that was the bet that I made tonight. Cause you know, to be completely honest, I don't see dynasty special from the Denver Nuggets. They didn't they so clearly needed one more guy all year. It was like just thoroughly obvious that they needed one more guy. They really missed Bruce Brown. They lost Bruce Brown and then didn't replace him. And at the deadline, they could have, but they said, nope, we're going to bet on Peyton Watson. We're going to bet on Christian Brown. And they bet on it. And that gamble winds up hurting him here. And I just loved the idea of this being like, actually the person who started, like, implanted this thought in my head was actually Domin when he tweeted out, I think it was a couple days ago or whatever, like game 7 on the road, all that stuff. Like, this is when legends are born. And like, it'd have been cool if, you know, if he dropped 40 or something like that. And I saw that like the most bet prop bet on the day was Anthony Edwards scoring more than 27.5 points. But to me, this is so much cooler. This is so much cooler to see somebody like faced with that type of adversity and say, you know what, I'm going to play basketball the right way and I'm going to win that way.
We're going to forget this because of how this series ended, Anthony. The Wolves won the first two games on the road in this series. Yeah. Anthony Edwards went in there and kicked their ass both games. He was dominant to the point, again, where as this series closed down. They were trapping him at half court. You know how many players get that type of respect? Trapping at half court, he's bringing the ball up. There's no defense, there's no action, and they're sending two at him right at the top. I think like that just shows the amount of respect that they have for him and his play. But no, Anthony Edwards was awesome. This is an awesome series for him. And with Denver, this is who they've been, though, Anthony. Like, they are not a team that spends. They've been notoriously cheap through their tenure. You just went through the bench guys they did not retain. And Bruce Brown was kind of a salary cap kind of thing where they could not pay him. But look, like you mentioned the second name thing, KCP's coming up, Aaron Gordon's coming up. Is their ownership gonna pay for a team that did not get out of the second round? I think they have questions that come up now since they lost. But no, it'll be interesting to see what happens to them. But yeah, give all the credit to Minnesota. What a win. The first two games they went on the road. Denver and Jokic and Murray punch right back, win three straight games. The amount of teams that would fold in that situation, and the amount of teams are like, all right, let's pack it up. We had a great season. You know, we won the first round. The amount of teams that would do that and to be able to go back and win game seven on the road, it's just special stuff, especially for a player that's 22 years old, being your best player in that situation. It's rare. It's special. It's very unique.
Yep. All right, let's move on. I know a lot of people. We have 1,300 people here watching on a Sunday night in which the Lakers didn't play, and I would imagine a lot of people here are wondering about the report that I dropped yesterday about JJ Redick and the likelihood that he is going to be the next coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm told that he is kind of far and away the favorite as it stands right now. The Lakers kind of tabbed him as the guy heading into the process and have been hoping to be wowed by him, in the interview and in the, event that they are. And like, let's be real. JJ Redick seems like the kind of guy who would wow you in an interview, right? Mm-hmm. That's how he's risen through the media ranks as quickly as he did. And I've been told that it could be as soon as this week that he could be hired as their next head coach. They are still going through the interview process with everybody, Borrego, Atkinson, Mike Anori, David Adelman, who just had his summer open up as well. Like they are still going to go through that process, and they're going to do so with an open mind. But you know, as it stands right now, the guy that they have always kind of tabbed as the, you know, the likeliest choice here, was Redick. And I would even go so far as to say that they felt that way when they fired him, because there was no, I mean, unless Lou was to miraculously become available, that doesn't look like it's going to happen. Once that didn't happen, I would even say that Redick was always the favorite, even over Budenholzer, who they never, I don't think they ever really fully considered him, given that Ham came from that tree. So yeah, I want to ask you this, Raj, because I know that the conversation about Redick has been about the lack of experience. It's been the optics of basically hiring LeBron's co-host and all of that stuff. I want to know, like, you, the Lakers fan, you think of JJ Redick, not like you, the rewatch this and film guy, all of that stuff. When you hear that a LeBron James Lakers team is going to have somebody at the helm who never coached in the NBA at any level, what's your response to that?
Yeah, so I've actually been on the JJ Redick kind of train early on. I looked at the pool of candidates, Anthony, and just none of them excite me in the same way, right? Like, Kenny Atkinson is nice. He, you know, a nice coach that's had some up and downs as a coach. It's just, you look at the pool, and we're in such a unique situation, like with LeBron being in his 21st, 22nd year. This has just never happened before, where a player is this good and still is the best player on their team and has leverage in terms of who's coaching the team, right? That's just never happened before. And that's why I think JJ is a more than worthy candidate. And I look at all the other coaches around. We're in a new age where coaches are way younger than they were before. We have more information on them. I don't know if the Lakers have listened to the old man in the three, all the hundreds of podcast episodes that he released, the Mind the Game pod. But you just have a lot of information on JJ. And like, it's easy to kind of joke about the pods and joke about kind of the conversations that go up there. But JJ, you mentioned how he's good in interviews. That dude is obviously a very meticulous person, very detail oriented. Has lived and breathed basketball for his entire life. And there's obviously a difference between playing and coaching, but I think there is some things you just pick up as a player, you know, walking around in coaching circles and playing for 15 years, and a guy who's obviously has the respect of your best player. LeBron picked him to do a podcast with, which doesn't seem like a big deal, but that's a guy LeBron chose and wanted to partner with, and it's obviously somebody that he respects his basketball acumen, and that gives you, to me, Anthony, a floor, a bar that maybe you just didn't have with your previous coaches. Like, I'm not sure what LeBron and Darvin's basketball like relationship was. I know that I have hundreds more videos of LeBron and JJ diagramming plays and sets and conversing about basketball than LeBron and Darvin Ham, which is insane considering Darvin was coaching LeBron for the last 2 years.